This is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Shabbat Shalom and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio 1220 AM as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher Sheila Crawford. And you can re-listen to this show later this week on ShofarMinistries.net. I'd like to open today's lesson with a prayer. Father in heaven, help us to shema, that is to hear and understand what you have to say to us in your word on our program today. And also, I want to lift up to you all the prayer requests that we have had come in for healing and for help from you in the name of Yeshua. That's Jesus, HaMashiach, the Christ. Amen.
I'd also like to add to that prayer a little bit. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you will really soften the hearts of those that we love, especially during this weekend time of remembrance of what you've done for us. And I pray, Lord, that they will see and want to know more about you. And I pray that everyone will have a chance to be open about their faith and tell the truth, and that people will listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you, too. I'd like to say, Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today is our last part, part four. We're going to finish on the fulfilled spring appointments of the Lord, which are three.
The three, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits.
Right, which is tomorrow. And this whole season began actually last Monday evening, and it goes for 8 days until Tuesday at sundown.
Amen. And I'd like to give a shout-out, too, to Rachel and Caleb and McKenna. And thank you for joining us as listeners this morning. And a reminder of our calendar webpage, shofarministries.net, where events are posted. You can also ask your biblical questions by email. Just email to Sheila at shofarministries.net. That's S-H-E-I-L-A at shofarministries.net. Or you may call Sheila as well and leave a detailed message, and she will be sure to get back to you. And we'll be opening up the phone lines later in this hour with questions or comments about today's programs or any end-time question you might have. Also, I want to throw this in. We will be ministering at the Newberry Full Gospel Church in Newberry, Ohio, next Saturday at 7 p.m., and that's in Newberry, Ohio at 14156 View Drive, V-I-E-W, View Drive.
Off Elm.
Off of Elm.
Off of Elm.
Off of Elm. Right off of Kinsman Road or
Route
87.
Right, Route 87.
Okay. And also we've had a real crazy week for news, Sheila. What's going on?
A little bit of sad news. You know, we mentioned last week how they were going to do the first Passover sacrifice ever. I mean, it was such a done deal.
After nearly 2,000 years.
And they even had gotten permission, they thought. But at the last minute, the Israeli Supreme Court, a few days before, ruled against it. They said they just did not want to cause strife with the Palestinians. I emailed the Sanhedrin, asked them to give us a little more details, and they weren't able to give me a long email because it is during their season where they don't do too much.
Yes.
But I did get a short email from them, and it said, unfortunately, the authorities did not permit the Korban Pesach, which is what they call Passover this year. After Passover, however, we will put more information about our attempt on our website. We pray that by increasing the awareness of this very significant commandment, that the Passover may be offered next year in Jerusalem.
And didn't they say best wishes?
And then they said best wishes.
Now, this is just something, this floors me because since the time that Jesus walked the earth, the Sanhedrin has not been in existence.
That's right. When the temple was destroyed, there was, you know, and they couldn't do anything as far as sacrifices and that. They were.
But now we have part of the temple being constructed off-site. Mm-hmm. We had a sacrifice that almost occurred on the mm-hmm. on the sacrificial altar part of the temple. And we have the Sanhedrin. This is all coming into place. And, and these are the things that just amaze me, that after so many years, letting us know where we are in God's timetable.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We're going to be finishing the spring feast today, but next week we're going to start talking more on the rapture again. We did that when we first started out almost a year ago now. Hard to believe. But I've been getting a lot of emails asking me, well, so-and-so says we're going to be here because. So I'm going to start talking about what they're saying, you know, the non-pre-tribulation people.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're claiming for their reasons.
Yes.
I'm going to start debunking that.
Okay.
Okay, and we're going to start doing that next week. So I hope you'll tell your friends in that to listen, because what I'm going to tell you is solid evidence why we cannot be here.
Mm-hmm.
And cannot. Okay?
For the tribulation period, the 7 years.
We cannot be here for that 7 years. Yeah, and we have a lot of evidence. Lots.
And we have some different angles on it that you probably haven't heard yet.
Right.
And you're right. There is a lot of bunk in that mm-hmm. argument.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it.
Yeah, they're just taking things out of context.
Nice word for
it. Ridiculous.
Yes.
So.
Anything else going on?
Well, the only other, there's of course lots of things happening, but again, we don't want to take up a lot of time because it goes so quickly.
Yes, it does.
And we want to get to good Bible
teaching. Good solid Bible teaching.
That's right. But I do want to mention that, and you probably already heard it, that Davenport, Iowa, actually tried to change the name Good Friday to Spring Holiday, you know. And it's just another way of getting God out of everything. It's an agenda for the progressives.
Hmm.
But here's the thing. Let's remember what this weekend is really all about, especially for those that know and love and are born-again Christians. And that is that you don't need any human to lead you out of the darkness. So don't look at man, any man, politics, anyone, because the darkness has already been conquered. You know, we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Death has already been conquered. Shame, guilt, depression, despair, already conquered. Jesus paid that price on the cross. For each and every one of us, he died so that we can live. And it's an incredible gift. It's the gift of eternity. There's nothing more that's more important. Nothing. And you know what? To receive it, all we have to do is ask him. Now that's the real hope.
Amen to that.
Amen to that. So I pray again, as you heard me in the beginning of the show a few minutes ago, that you'll all have the opportunity in love to witness to somebody, wherever you're at tomorrow, with family function, friends, or whatever. Please witness to them. Tell them what the Lord has done for them and that there's a way out of their depression and despair, and that's mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
And don't forget about going to church. You know, if you go to church on Easter.
Yeah,
now we know Easter is not the real origin of Easter. It's far different. When you study the Bible, you realize it has nothing to do, of course, with the Easter Bunny or anything like that. But go. Because you know what it is? When you go, it's a witness to other people.
Well, yeah, and I think most churches talk about the resurrection. I don't think they're talking about Easter.
Yeah. Most of the churches you go to will be talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's a good time to get your unsaved friends and relatives to go,
invite somebody
to go with you. Yeah.
Amen to that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
No. So anyway, this is, our last week on the Spring Appointments of God. And for the last 3 weeks, we've covered, we've covered Passover.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the two Jewish calendars and why you need to know the difference.
That's right.
We talked about how the lamb was picked 4 days prior to when it would be slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus also was picked 4 days sooner. Actually, he followed the lamb in the parade and they hailed him as king.
Mm-hmm.
He immediately went to the temple for 4 days of rugged questioning. And Pilate said the same thing that the priest says for the sheep or the lamb. I find no fault in him.
Yes, he was examined by the Pharisees, by the by the Sanhedrin, by the Roman government, examined by all.
Right. Which points to the fact that was Palm Sunday. Okay.
Yes.
So if there was 4 days in the temple, mm-hmm. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Wednesday evening was the Passover Last Supper meal.
Mm-hmm.
He went over to Gethsemane and prayed to the Father, sweated blood, and that morning they put him on the cross the next morning. That was Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
He died on Thursday.
Yes. It was. It started out as Wednesday, as we call the days of the week, but it was still the 14th.
Because of sundown, it began the
14th. Yes, and that's another big point you got to learn in your Hebrew roots, and it confuses a lot of us, but once you get it, it's easy. The day begins at sunset.
Right. It does.
It does.
Mean, they still call it Wednesday night, though.
Yes.
But the day changes.
Yeah, the day changes.
Yeah.
So that's why it's possible for Jesus to have had the Passover feast with the disciples and still be the Passover lamb, because it was the same day, even though it went from nighttime to morning to afternoon and then to the next evening.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has a purpose in everything he does.
That's right.
I always remember when I first started reading the Bible and I said, you know, I saw that it was evening and morning, you know, always evening first. And I thought, well, that's silly.
Yes.
But when you understand his, you know, his plan, and that darkness is first and then Jesus is the light. And we can go on and on about that, but we will probably as we get into more of the rapture and things like that starting next week.
Yeah.
We'll be talking more about that. But we also talked about some gold nuggets associated with his death and burial. And we know that he was buried on unleavened bread for the same reason. At sundown starts the next day, which is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which now is the 15th. So he was put into the tomb. He took all our sins to mm-hmm. the tomb. And, of course, he is our unleavened bread from heaven.
That's right.
You know? So he was buried on unleavened bread, and then he rose on the Feast of First Fruits, which would have been the 17th by now, and fulfilling the details of the historical application of all the feasts, which we're going to talk about.
So it falls into line.
It absolutely
does. And that's what
we're
going to talk about. It falls right to the time, to the day, to the hour. It's great.
That's right. And him being put on the cross at 9 o'clock, and then 6 hours later, his side was pierced. And that's exactly the same time the lamb was actually slaughtered, at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
How could you fulfill it any more exact than that?
Yes.
You know? It's pretty amazing. So, today, we're going to give kind of that final recap of, again, how he fulfilled that. So, we have about 10 minutes. Let's see how much we can get done before our break.
Oh,
what
okay.
do you think?
Sure.
All right. If you've got a pencil and paper, you might want to take some notes. If not, you might want to go to our website. Probably usually by Monday he has it up there.
Yeah, by Monday this program you're listening to now will be on the website.
Right. Sometimes sooner, just so you know. Okay, we've got seven feasts of the Lord or seven appointments. If you want, you can read about it in Leviticus 23. They're all written there. It starts off with the Sabbath, and then we go on to the first one being Passover.
Mm-hmm.
So the historical aspect was Israel's deliverance out of Egyptian bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Moses told the people to slay the lamb
mm-hmm.
at 3 o'clock
mm-hmm.
and then take the blood, apply it to the doorposts, And if the blood was there, then the angel of death would pass over. And that's where they got the word
Passover. That's Passover. Why they call it Passover. Yes.
Jesus fulfilled that literally. When he came, he died. He was put on the wood, the cross, mm-hmm. and his blood was on there. And if you believe in that, the angel of death will pass over you too.
Amen. Amen.
The second death.
The angel of the second death.
Right. Mm-hmm. The not good one.
The not good death.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, as Christians, if we die, it's a sleep more than anything. He calls it a sleep. He doesn't even really call it a death. So, should we talk about the spiritual application yet or save that? Let's go through just the how he fulfilled the historical application first.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, at sundown, he was taken down from the cross. They had to hurry and do it because the Feast of Unleavened Bread was a holy convocation or holy
and you
day.
You could do no servile work. And plus, if you were involved with the dead in any way, too, you were made ritually unclean. So it really messed things up to have somebody die during that time.
Right. You know, they wanted to make sure he came down from the cross. And, of course, we talked about how people confused that then and thinking that he died on a Friday because they hurried to get him off before the Sabbath. But if you read it closely in John 19, it was a high Sabbath. Mm-hmm. It even says so.
Yeah. I think even the Greek, in the Greek it says the word Shabbaton, which is the Hebrew word too. And it's the exact same word in Greek,
which
means a high Sabbath.
High Sabbath.
Yeah.
Right. But again, that's why it's important, people, listeners out there, to know even just a little bit of Hebraic roots.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know an awful lot to understand the Bible.
No.
It's really pretty simple, actually.
Yes.
So, all right. So he was put into the grave on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, historically, after they applied the blood, the next day, they actually left Egypt on the same day that Jesus would put his body into the grave, which, represents taking our sins and burying them.
Yes.
So they actually left Egypt that day. And, again, we should say the spiritual application, but it's interesting to know that when we accept Jesus' cross, that we, too, are separated from the world.
That's
and
right.
We'll go over that again.
On that first Passover that they ate at night, God told them, he said to eat it fully dressed with your staff in your hand. In other words, you're leaving very soon after you eat this meal, which was eaten at night. And, of course, the angel of death came, and they were ready. He says, eat it. This is your meal of haste.
That's right. Because when we accept it spiritually, we're supposed to leave the world.
Yes, we are.
We have to live in the world. We have to be witnesses and make disciples and do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
We are not to love what the world has.
Right.
It's the secular world that loves all the gadgets and things and money and greed. And
so when you figuratively apply that blood on the doorposts of your heart, make sure you're going on. You're taking the first step of a journey.
Yeah, and what has to really be done along with that? Repent.
Repent, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, and then the third feast that we talked about, of course, is the Feast of First Fruits, also called Bikurim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But historically, this is when they actually got to the Red Sea and crossed through it. What a mighty miracle. Can you think of anything that's more of a miracle than that?
Well, yes, the sea was parted.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Pharaoh was prohibited from following them through the sea by the pillar of fire. And so Pharaoh and his army couldn't really follow until they were safely on the other side. And the sea, it says in the Bible, withstood like walls.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of children probably went up to those walls and said, Mommy, can I grab that fish I see?
Yeah, right.
And the mommy probably said, no, we got to get to the other side.
Plus, it was supposed to be dry.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty amazing.
And the land was dry. Yeah.
But I think even the better miracle, of course, was the resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
But what's interesting is he did it on the same anniversary date as when they crossed through the Red Sea. And, of course, that's so significant because of his resurrection also, our enemy is destroyed.
Yeah, it is.
Just like
it has marked
were.
The defeat of both enemies. Now, Pharaoh died as the waters closed in about Satan didn't really die. Of course, we know that. Mm-hmm. But he's really, his power over us has now been is gone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It really is, and the only reason people really get hung up on it is because they're not walking in it.
That's right. And you know, I'm not saying that you know, the enemy can't do something to you, because
he
certainly will,
you.
And he'll certainly try.
Absolutely.
But you know what? He doesn't have your soul anymore.
No.
And
he can't kill you.
And he can't kill you. And he can't take you into his 2.5-star hot hotel down there either, because you know Jesus, you know.
That's right. You just have to walk in it.
That's right.
And, of course, we can't really do that without spending time in God's Word, because that's mm-hmm. where we get the power.
God's Word, the Bible. Yes.
You know, I mm-hmm. talk to so many Christians, and they're defeated. And I go, mm-hmm. what's wrong? You know, why do you feel so defeated? And they go, I don't know. I pray every day. You know, and I say, well, how much are you in your Word? Well, when I go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, honey, that's your problem.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be in the Word of God, or you're not going to have the power.
That's right. And you not only you have to read it, you have to understand it.
2 hours a day.
And you know, 2 hours a day, and you have to read and understand, and you also have to do. There's a little bit of doing involved.
Of
the Lord's showing you something in His Word that you need to get things right with somebody in your life.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Need to do that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. But again, without the Word, you're not mm-hmm. going to want to. You're not going to even have the power. You're going to be lazy, lazy Christians. And that's what we're seeing in the Church of Laodicea. And we are living in the Church of Laodicea.
The Laodicean Church mentioned in the book of Revelation. It almost sounds kind of like lazy.
Spiritually lazy.
Spiritually lazy. But when you say Laodicea, I always think lazy. I hear that now because you've taught that for so many years.
Okay, so here's another little interesting nugget, that they crossed the Red Sea, according to Exodus, during the morning watch. And remember a few weeks ago we talked about what the difference between the morning watches and the...
How in Bible times they had the hours of the day divided into watches.
The nighttime hours.
Yeah. Nighttime hours, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the morning watch would have been the watch just before the morning came up.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. So it's just before sunrise.
So just before sunrise.
I am sure, because of the typology involved here,
mm-hmm.
that Jesus... doesn't say this, but I am just from the knowledge that I gather.
A lot of circumstantial evidence.
Yes. That Jesus rose from the dead on the morning watch.
On the morning watch.
Because he needs to fulfill that exactly.
Yes.
So just like his side was pierced exactly the same time the lamb, I believe that he rose from the dead during the morning watch. And when they got there on Sunday morning, it was empty.
Yes.
So.
And that proves it.
I believe so.
I believe so.
I believe so. All right. We are going to go over more in detail the spiritual applications of that now, because that's really what it's all about for us born-again Christians, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back, we're going to take it up there.
Oh, don't tell me. Are we at halftime already?
We are at halftime. We call it halftime.
Okay. Well, listen, folks. The lines are going to be open when we come back if you have questions. And don't worry if we're talking. You could still call. We won't hear the phone rings, but we'll get your call. So don't be shy. Call if you have a question on what we're talking about, our topic today, or any end time question. Call us at 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And since we cover such a big area here on WHK Radio, we would like you to visit at your church for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message. Ask your pastor and ask him to give us a call at 440-834-9006. We'd really like to come out and see you at your church. I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3. And all your gifts are tax deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air. Airtime's expensive. So really, folks, if you like this forum with solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021, or just give through shofarministries.net and use PayPal. as well. And you can purchase the teaching DVDs, especially on the spring feast there, only for a donation of only $15.
Also, I'd like to add, we do need your help if you have a small business that you would like to have some advertising done. Just give me a call, and it's very affordable, 440-834-9006. And that will also help us keep the show on the air.
Keep the show on the air and get to spread the word of your business over a wide area, including all of Cleveland and a lot of the east side and the south side and the west side. So, once again, those numbers for your end time questions, 216-901-0933 or 888. It's this toll-free, 677-WORD-9673. Now, stay with us. We're at halftime, and you're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we will be right back, promise, after a short break, and the great song by Amy Safera entitled Via Della Rosa.
Yeah, people asked
and this is by popular demand. They said, can you play that song again? We'll see you right. Stay with us. We'll see you in just a bit.
Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kastelek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
Cleveland Right to Life presents the America Unplugged Tour with News Talk 1420 hosts Michael Medved and Hugh Hewitt, plus panel guests Josh Mandel and Tom Ganley at Landerhaven on Thursday night, April 22nd. You've seen the televised media portraying opponents of Obamacare as fanaticals breaking windows and spitting at Congress. It's time to undo the spin. It's time to regroup, refocus, and re-energize. It's time to begin undoing Obamacare. News Talk 1420's America Unplugged Plug Tour is your chance to meet like-minded individuals sick of seeing the negative media coverage and take action where it really counts at the voting booth. Come and join us on Thursday, April 22nd at Landerhaven. Get your tickets at whkradio.com. That's whkradio.com. News Talk 1420's America Unplugged is also brought to you by the support of the Cuyahoga County GOP and by Rubenstein Law Firm, providing compassionate bankruptcy help since 1985.
Women battle unattainable expectations. They feel insecure about their looks, relationships, success, and performance. Women need to escape this insecurity epidemic. Now, women can find answers for soul deep security in Beth Moore's book, So Long Insecurity. So Long Insecurity offers insight for women to stop feeling inadequate and instead to find peace. Pick up Beth Moore's So Long Insecurity in bookstores or online at SoLongInsecurity.com.
God is calling you to serve and you're ready to take the next step. The right Christian college awaits you, but where to begin? Go to ChristianCollegesNow.com. The right Christian college and the ideal degree program awaits you at ChristianCollegesNow.com. Use the advanced search tools to fit your specific goals. It's as simple as search, find, apply. ChristianCollegesNow.com provides you with everything you need to make your decision, from tips and advice to advanced planning and even online application. You'll find it all at ChristianCollegesNow.com.
That was drives for his paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba, era ver a que llevaba Jesús. Oh, la vida dolorosa es la vida del dolor. Toma fe, ha habido Cristo. Al Calvario y a morir. The blood that was spent, the souls of all men, made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. The
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song, Via Dolorosa by Amy Safera, a great song, and that was the road that Jesus walked with the cross to his place of execution on that day way back over 2,000 years ago. I know a couple of people that have walked down that road, been to the very place. One of them sitting across the microphone table from me. Now, and the other lives up in Rock Creek, and they both claim to have walked down the same path that Jesus took with the cross.
Amen.
You did that.
I did. And I actually went down underneath the street, which where it really was.
Yeah, because everything's built on top of everything else. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I actually saw the circles and that written in the ground. I mean, it was pretty amazing. If you haven't been to Israel, you need to go. But listen, I got to ask you something, John, and all the listeners out there. If you love children...
Well, most of the time, yes, I do.
Well, I love children, especially babies. Okay, I love babies a lot. But there's a friend of mine, a lady named Beth, and she listens to this program. And she's a mother of five, grandmother of three, and has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies. And she is now certified as a newborn care specialist.
Wow.
And... she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So I'm telling you this to tell you that if you would like to be like Beth, and age is no barrier, by the way. And
apparently having a big family isn't either. She's found time
right.
to do this. That's amazing.
Yes. But if you would like to do something like that and work with children while adding to your family's income, and you know how we're all pretty stretched these days. Give Carolyn a call, and her number is 440-781-7531. And don't forget, of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious one, because we have to be careful these days, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. And one more time, again, if you love children and would like to find out about the opportunities that are waiting for you, as a professional nanny, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531 and tell them you heard about it on WHKW Radio.
Sounds like a great idea.
Okay. All right. We have a caller on the line, and I believe the name is Dana.
Dana?
Yes, Dana, you're on the line. What's your question?
Danielle. I'm the pesky Danielle calling.
Oh, Danielle.
Hi. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And may there be peace in Jerusalem.
Amen to that. What's your question, Danielle?
Well, I have a couple of questions. In the book of Zechariah, it talks about, in Zechariah 13, verse 8, it says, "And it shall come to pass that in the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein." And then in the book of Isaiah, over in Isaiah, it says it will be a tenth, huh? I did, Isaiah, the 5th chapter, when he's talking to Isaiah, let me see here. By the way,
were you going to mention anything in the book of Revelation, too, Danielle?
Here we go. Isaiah 6:10, it says, "Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Then I said, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without an inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. And yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a till tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." So my question is, it talks about a tenth in Isaiah, but in Zechariah it mentions a third would return.
Tell me those scriptures again.
What?
Zechariah 13.
Okay, let me get back over here to Zechariah. Zechariah 13:8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
"And
it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die." And we believe that two-thirds of the people during the tribulation would be cut off and die. "But the one-third shall be left in it." That's how many will be left.
Okay.
Okay.
But how does that square with Isaiah, where it says one-tenth would return, would remain?
Okay, where is it in Isaiah, sweetie?
Isaiah chapter 6.
Okay. Verse what?
Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 13.
13, "But yet a tenth will be in it and will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump." This could be referring not to the end times, but something that's already happened.
Okay.
Okay, it's one of the judgments that either with Assyria or one of the other countries, because the reason you know that is because if you read it in context, which you did, and I was trying to listen, and I don't believe I heard anything saying in that day. And unless you see that, as you do in Zechariah, then it's probably already happened. And you'd have to know a lot of history to be precise as to what that is, of course.
Right. There were a few times. And my other question was, in the end of the book of Ezekiel, it talks about where the waters will be healed, and which correlates with Revelation chapter 22.
Of course. You know what that is, don't you?
Right. But then it talks about that Israel, the 12 tribes, would finally get their inheritance, but that the 12 tribes aren't exactly the same in both instances.
Right. Dan's missing in Revelation, I think, right?
Yeah, they're all back, though, in the millennial kingdom. Is that what you mean, sweetie?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. They're all back.
Okay. And then my other question would be then, it talks about the sacrifices would be reinstituted in the book of Ezekiel.
Yes.
But we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover.
That's right.
And there is no more need for any kind of animal sacrifices, because that would be counterintuitive at this point.
Well,
so what I'm wondering is, what actually is that referring to when Israel comes back from Babylon and the temple of the second temple is rebuilt?
Okay, actually, the reason that they did the sacrifices prior to Jesus was in anticipation of what the Messiah would do. In the millennial kingdom, the only reason they're going to be doing it is to remember what the Messiah did. Okay, and there will be some. It's very clear. It's during the millennial kingdom. But it's more in appreciation for what he did. And
serve as a reminder, as Paul says, a reminder of sins. Because not everyone is aware of the of just the hideousness of sin and how it does affect people. And you see that very graphically in the sacrifices.
Well, and not only that, you have to remember, during the millennial kingdom, there will be still human beings there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we will be with Jesus as his queen. We will have our resurrected bodies, and we will rule and reign from Jerusalem. But especially as time goes on, people will
be born,
and they will move outwards. And we don't know the details on this, okay? We don't have all the answers, but possibly some of the sacrifices would be for them also. I don't know the details, but I know they're going to be there. But again, I've been told from some pretty good scholars that a lot of it will be for the what he did for them. But again, knowing that there's still going to be sin until eternity, it could have something to do with that too. And we're not sure.
Yeah. Well, that's a good explanation. That's kind of like what I thought. It would be kind of a figurative kind of sacrifice to show that why we needed to have a Messiah, and why he had to die for us, and that the animal sacrifices could never atone.
That's right.
That's right.
Perfect sense. Well, thank you very much. You know, I just wanted to thank you. I did get your newsletter.
Okay.
And I was very impressed.
Oh, good.
A couple of articles about the glow-in-the-dark Ouija board.
Yeah.
Which doesn't shock me, because really our culture is just indoctrinating all of us, especially the children.
I know, and that's where they start, and that's why we have to take a handle and indoctrinate them first in the right way, not let them get a hold of them.
And then also your expose on the origin of the Easter holiday. And of course, Ashtaroth, the queen of heaven, you know,
right,
and Tammuz and all of that. And I think that's really important to know, because we're not supposed to mix these things up. We should, you know, Christians should be, we should be aware that
we definitely need to be aware, but we also need to take it back from the enemy rather than shun it altogether, because then people look at us like we're one of those. And instead, I would like to be able to go to my friends and acquaintances that really don't understand the details and tell them what Christ really did on this day. And as long as you can do that, then they respect you for your knowledge.
Right. So, but anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
That was very impressive.
Well, I thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And the facts in here, and so I'm gonna pray for your ministry.
Oh, that's most important.
May you both be richly blessed. And
thank you.
Thank you so much, sweetie.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom,
Danielle.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay, what a nice lady.
It's good to hear from her.
All right, let's I want to mention one thing, only because I'm sorry, John. I speak so much lately on the spring feast that I'm not sure if we mentioned about the acronyms and what Jesus' acronym on the cross was. And I don't know if we said it the first week, and if we did, we're going to say it again, because it's just so.
You're referring to the sign that was placed on top of the.
In fact, let me just.
The vertical portion of the.
And John.
I was going to say that Ray brought this out, our friend Ray. Lopez, that all the sacrifices had a little placard. All the lambs had placard with the family's name, so when they were sacrificed, that they would they'd be sacrificed for a proper family, and so Jesus, like the lambs, had his above the cross.
Right, and it's interesting because you can read about it in John 19, verses 16 through 22. It says, "Then he delivered Jesus to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of the Skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it around or on the cross, And the word is epi, which means it can be about or on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so and it says, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, which makes us think that maybe there were some signs around the cross also.
Mm-hmm.
But irregardless, in Hebrew is what we're looking at. And verse 21, it says, therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather he said, I am the King of the Jews. So they didn't want to declare him King of the Jews. They wanted to say that. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Pilate probably pondered that for a minute and finally spoke up and said, what I have written, I have written. And the great thing about that is that, John, you know what an acronym is, don't you?
Yes, we all use acronyms every day. DVD, a CD. Although we're not really sure what DVD stands for, we found out.
Digital something, we know that.
Digital video something or other, but there was an acronym formed by this title on the cross.
Yeah, we have things like the UN, the EU.
Oh, United Nations.
Yeah, ACLU, GATT, NAFTA. So, I mean, there's like 40,000 acronyms.
Right.
So it's not surprising when you can see that Jesus also had an acronym.
Mm-hmm.
But if Pilate would have changed it, then it wouldn't have worked. But because he didn't, if you take the acronym for Yeshua, HaNatzaret, VeMelech, HaYehudim, take the acronym, which is the first letter of each word, from right to left, because that's how they went. It was Yod Heh Vav Heh, or YHWH,
which is
Yahweh.
God's name.
God's name. He was declaring himself God in the acronym of what they put on the cross. That is amazing. Whew. What do you think?
I think that that just can sum up everything.
Yeah, right.
That says so much.
Okay, before we have to close, I just want to say, remember, the spiritual applications are very important with the feast also, because we are born-again Christians. So all seven feasts are really spiritually fulfilled in our hearts.
Okay.
They'll have a literal fulfillment as well. And as you can see, he fulfilled the first three and the fourth, which is Pentecost. Literally, I believe he'll fulfill the last three as well. And that's going to be in the fall. So I believe Jesus probably will come back in the fall. Okay.
Amen.
But the spiritual application is you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross and applied the blood to the cross for you, and you need to apply that blood to your heart.
Amen. That's the Passover.
That's right. So you repent and you apply the shed blood of Jesus to your heart. Then the Feast of Unleavened Bread is that like that separation from the evil world. And then the next one is the Feast of First Fruits, and that's actually, of course, when they went through the Red Sea and when he resurrected from the dead, which is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And again, walking in the newness of life, appreciating and understanding what he really did. It's because of his resurrection that we will live forever.
And you're walking towards a far different goal than before. You're walking towards the children of Israel, or walking towards the land of Israel. And now when you get saved, you're walking towards heaven instead of walking the other direction.
Well, that's true. Remember, heaven's only going to be for the honeymoon.
Yes.
Amen to that.
Amen.
All right. Any last-minute things you want to cover? We've got maybe about 1 minute.
We've got 2 minutes.
We've got 2 minutes.
We've got 2 minutes. Can we go and do Pentecost, too, then? Or?
No.
You don't want to stop. Okay.
No, I think we better say goodbye. And I just want to wish everybody a happy day for the resurrection of your Lord. Get the opportunity to talk about him, tell somebody, and then write me an email. Tell me how it went.
Sounds like a good idea to me. If you have a question for Sheila, you can email her for that, too. Or if you'd like to have her speak at your church or even your home group, just email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net. Sheila spelled S-H-E-I. L-A, for those of you who have trouble with the I-4-E thing. And any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry.
And I just want to point out, too, to remember to go to my webpage and check out the archives for the radio broadcast. They're all on there. We've covered things like Pentecost, is I think where we started out at, because we started in May. We talk about Israel, how it benefited America and the world. We've got tips on Bible studying, rapture, the last trumpet, what that really means, Rosh Hashanah, the prayer shawl, sanctification. Oh, my gosh, there's so much stuff. So I hope you'll go there and get some education.
Yes.
And it's free.
Yes, it's free. Please consider being a partner also as well in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries at Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. All donations will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter, which is full of gold nuggets and current events of these last days here and in Israel. Why not check out the webpage, the newsletters, and our previous radio shows? They're all there archived thanks to Lou Buckles. And as a great study for beginners on DVD, Hebraic Roots 101, Parts 1 and 2, and now the Spring Feast available on the webpage as well. ShofarMinistries.net or just call Sheila at 440-834-9006. And we'd like to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next week.
Shalom, Yerushalayim. Psalm 122:6.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.
The preceding program's views, claims, and or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hey, Frank, what you do? Inherit some money from a rich uncle?
What do you mean, Bob?
I hear radio commercials for your business all the time. Geez, you'd think you were like a multinational company or something. That's got to be costing you a fortune. That's why I ask, a rich uncle die?
Yeah, right. Seriously, Bob, I just made the decision to start advertising my business and generate some new sales. Heck, all my competitors have either closed shop or slipped into the weeds. I may as well start advertising, because they sure aren't. Folks are still buying, and since my competitors aren't advertising, I can run commercials now and pick up business that might otherwise go to them. Besides, radio advertising has never been more affordable, so I don't need any relatives to kick the bucket to do it.
Makes sense, Frank. Maybe I should do the same. Got a name at the radio station I should talk to?
Just listen to the announcer.
What announcer?
This guy.
To find out about affordable and effective advertising, call General Manager Mark Jacox at 216-525-1800. That's 216-525-1800. Ask about our buy now pricing for all new customers.
So, babe, even though you're falling for me, you probably haven't noticed that I'm a con artist. I'll treat you very well and shower you with attention, affection, and gifts. Then I'm going to scam my way into your heart and into your checkbook. I'll find out your credit history and financial background, then steal from you using a variety of techniques, like credit card fraud, forgery, or I'll simply borrow your money, always promising to pay it back. Then, over time, I'm going to take you for everything you've got.
Every day, Ohioans are conned out of their money, even their life savings, many times by people they think they can trust. Investment opportunities that sound too good to be true usually are just that. Before you put one dime of your hard-earned money into an investment, contact the State of Ohio Division of Securities. Call 1-877-683-7841 or visit conartist.ohio.gov. Sponsored by the Ohio Department of Commerce Division of Securities, aired by the OAB and this station.
Feel like your debts have become a nightmare? Loans, credit cards, medical bills? Stop! You can end this nightmare and start getting out of debt today with Care One Debt Relief Services. Call for Care One at 1-866-209-5630. Care One agencies can help you get out of debt faster than you could on your own. Their agents are experts at lowering your interest rates, getting late fees waived, and consolidating your debts into one lower monthly payment. Care One agencies are accredited by the Better Business Bureau, and they've already helped over 4.5 million people. So don't just dream about getting out of debt. Gather your bills and call a Care One agent for your free personal debt analysis. Call 1-866-209-5630. There's no obligation. Licensing details are available. It's a free call that can change your life. Call Care One Debt Relief now. Call 1-866-209-5630. That's 1-866-209-5630.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I know you've said that judges cannot be removed except for bad conduct. Well, if they keep overriding what the president has said, is not that a form of bad conduct?
No, disagreeing with an opinion is not bad conduct for the purposes of removal or what would be getting a judge off the bench, and that is censuring the judge or removing them, not because they disagree with an opinion. So, and some of these cases, remember, are not that clear. Oftentimes, the courts give muddled and confusing, sometimes conflicting decisions. But having said that, look, at the end of the day, here's what I think. I think that we've got to move the court in the right direction, and that means getting the right nominees to the Supreme Court of the United States and the lower courts.
Stay informed, get involved, and make a difference. Visit the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Do you send high-friction greeting cards? For example, you get in your car, drive to the mall, go to the card store, search the Easter cards, find the right one, pay for it, get back in the car, drive home, write in it, put it in an envelope, seal it, address it, stamp it, and mail it. That is a high-friction Easter card. And really, how much impact does it have?
Nice card.
Wouldn't you rather have a low-friction, high-impact Easter card, like the e-card you can send from your desk right now with crosscards.com?
Wow, that's some card!
Low-friction, high-impact.